185miles south.com.
Smash that Patreon button.
Miles South, a hardcore punk rock podcast. What's up, everyone? We are back and talking hardcore, helping out. You know him, you love him. It is the best dressed man on the pod. It is Daniel Sant. What's up, Dan?
When shit goes down, no one's around. Just you and him. No way he'll win.
Also helping out, it is Ben Merlis, a.k.a. Ben Edge, a.k.a. Bedge. What's up, Ben?
What's going on?
And rounding us out, don't call him Cincinnati. It is the man known as Clevo. What's up, Cleveland?
I know where I stand, wear my heart on my sleeve.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, this week we are doing a Super 7 on the year, 1998. This is a great year for me personally. Well, first off, we should say 25 years ago, holy shit, that's terrifying. Went by in the blink of an eye. But yeah, 98, big year for me. I've been into hardcore a couple of years, and you know, anyone that's been into hardcore for 2 or 3 years, they know everything. They know what's up. That is what's up. I quit my first hardcore band, joined another one, and yeah, got to be a part of that age-long hardcore tradition of rooting against another band. So that's important. And yeah, but so much good shit this year. Again, hard to whittle down my list. I think it's a crucial year for hardcore. And Dan, what do you think? 1998.
It's so strange because when you run the gamut of what came out in 98, you're like, this seems like it was, you know, 5 years before 98. And then this seems like it was 5 years after 98, you know, and then obviously there are some things that are very 98, but it's just really weird that like this year and grabs all that stuff where some of it felt a little bit later to me. And, maybe that's just because I got into it later. All in all, I think it is not one of the thickest years we've done, but there are some things to pluck from here for sure.
I love it. Clevo, 1998, what do you think?
You know, 1998 was really, I think in the moment I was really hyper-focused on, you know, being in a straight edge band and, you know, playing pretty samey shows, you know, with a lot of straight edge bands. And I think in hindsight, my list probably looks a lot different than what it would have been if I made it in 1998. It's almost like a bridge year to me, or like kind of a gap year. I feel like, you know, there's less to choose from, but there's still a lot of great stuff from this year.
Hell yeah. Ben, 1998, what's your take?
It's funny. I tried to start a band with Dave Weinberg singing and me on guitar in 1998 and completely forgot about it. We did like 2 or 3 practices and he texted me 5 minutes ago with lyrics that I had him sing in one of the songs I wrote. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, how do you remember that? I don't even remember that. But here's what was happening in the world of 1998 for bands that actually did make records. It's One Word Death Threat versus Two Word Death Threat. It's Dillinger 4 versus Dillinger Escape Plan. It's Eyelid versus Eyeball. It's In Cold Blood versus Blood for Blood. It's Fast Break versus Tie Break. It's One King Down versus One Sided War versus one other band I'm not going to mention. We've reached peak second wave youth crew with releases by In My Eyes, Time Flies, Sportswear, Better Than 1,000, Rancor, 10 Yard Fight, Stand Your Ground, Carry On, Committed, and many, many more. Although we all know the rebirth of hardcore won't be until the following year, according to Ray Capo. We have the very beginnings of an early 80s style hardcore resurgence with The Missing 23rd and thrashy fast bands like Life's Halt, Dead Nation, DS13, Blade Crasher, and Gordon Solie Motherfuckers. However, metalcore and or metallic hardcore continues to dominate with releases by Disembodied, Shai-Hulud, Adamantium, Coalesce, and Earth Crisis. The genre of music that Dan calls hard style, I call prison metal, and Zach calls home, is popping with Clubberlang, Come and Correct, E-Town Concrete, and everyone's favorite mumblecore band, 25 to Life. From Ashes Rise and His Heroes Gone put out quote-unquote stadium crust records, AF Goes Street Punk and Refused shows us the shape of punk to come. Just kidding. The first Crazy Fest happens in Louisville, and three labels I could find that form this year for put out the first releases this year: Malfunction, Reflections, and Jitsu Records. And Turbo Negro. That's all I got. And there's a band called Turbo Negro.
There was a lot wrong in there, but I didn't take notes, so I can't address it real time. So tune in to my Substack about this episode, and I'll crucify everything Ben said right there. I think, whatever. We'll get into it whenever. But Ben, 90% righteous. Hell yeah.
I think it was entertaining.
It was definitely entertaining. And again, 90% righteous and 10% wrong. So, but whatever, dude. I'm 80% righteous most of the time and 20% wrong. So, hell yeah. Dan, give everyone the rules of Super 7 and let people know the order that got rolled this week.
Okay. So, Super 7 is a fun, competitive building of a 7-song playlist / mixtape. And what, when, you know, all the songs must come from 1998. One thing, you can take one song from one band. It does not mean that band is off the table. It just means that song is gone. So, you know, all of Last Days can get picked here and might. And the order is Zach first, Ben second, me third, Clevo in the Nardcur spot.
Damn, Apocalypse Dudes is this year, huh? I didn't realize that. Well, I'm fucked. I start out bad.
100% right then.
Yeah, I think 100%. 100% right on Apocalypse Dudes coming out this year for sure. On Come and Correct being the hard style, I don't know. They were just pretty sorry. Generally, but let's see here. What 25 to Life was great, and a lot of the times Coming Correct was just like a sloppy, weird version. Like, I don't know. Anyway, there is some good 25 to Life this year, and it might be making my list if Ben doesn't steal them first. Number one pick, I'm stoked I got it. I am taking Death Threat, the song Brotherhood. Dude, let's talk about a perfect hardcore song. Fast, and then a two-step part, and then fast, and then a fucking mosh part. Out. That's it. With a big-ass sing-along on the hardest part of the mosh, right? Like, and maybe the best pick slide in the history of punk or hardcore, right? But like,
Mike Ness is rolling in his not grave.
Mike Ness, take notes. Yeah, but like, dude, when it's like coming to that second breakdown, like the actual mosh part, and it's like doom do da do do doom do do dan do do doom do do dan to the dun 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 doom do do dan to the dun, and then it kicks, it's like, oh my god. And then when it switches over to like the actual playing a straight drum beat, dun SDS dun 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 to the Brotherhood dun 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 dun. If you're not banging your head, you got no heartbeat in your chest. And then like they up it again, because like they go to like to kind of like how Hatebreed, like instead of doing like the double time on the cymbal, like they just drop it to the once. Doom da doom da. So sick. Perfect song. I kind of failed at describing it. I didn't get my homework done because I was setting up. And but yeah, what do you think, Dan?
I mean, if it didn't go one, it was gonna go three. It's so sick. That part, so the pick slide is not only just a pick slide, it's like a like he's like hammering on the pick slide while it's going, and it just goes, and then the drums start, and you're like, I just want to know how many noses have been broken to this mosh part. It's got to be in the 30s at least, maybe 50s. It is so good, and the Esther, yes, like everything about this is perfect. The fast parts are so good, and then it even like just gives you a little fast at the end too, like in typical like great Connecticut style, you know, comes out of a really hard part to just a fast part to end it. I love this song. I love it so much.
Well, the best thing about like Hatebreed and Death Threat in this era is they know that like the set up big mosh parts, they're better when they follow fast parts, right? I mean, that's still the formula, you know, and like that was lost in a lot of the heavy bands of the 90s, and it's lost in like some bands now just being like moshy riff salad, you know, like fast shit is like the backbone. It's like what makes shit great, right? Faster bounce, like to cut up the breakdowns. And if it's just breakdown on top of breakdown on top of breakdown, I mean, at least in my ears, it's boring a lot.
Yeah, and these are bands that are big fans of Agnostic Front and Youth of Today, you know, so that element is in there in what is they consider hardcore, but then they're turning it on its head with this, you know, extremely hard version.
The other thing I like about this song is like, I love when hardcore bands like sing about like the glory days being now, you know, like that's sick. Cause like, you know, live in the moment, right? But then you also like you've been around long enough that you can be like, oh, this is like a glory day, like, and I'm allowed to speak on it. Like, I have some perspective that what's going on right now is fucking sick, you know. So I love that. Like these glory days, they won't last forever, you know. We got to remember them. So yeah, sick lyrically, sick musically, all the delivery on this is my number one. I was stoked to have it because I like this whole record, and we talked about it on the Best Records of the 90s episode. I didn't remember this record like as in high regard as I did when I like revisited it for that project, and I was like, oh my god, this whole thing's good. I remember, like, you know, back in the day thinking like the three demo songs on the CD were like stand out above the others, and it was like, god, actually this whole CD just bangs. So but this is like still the cream of the crop for like a CD that is still awesome.
You know, what's amazing about it is like Peace and Security is like regarded as the, you know, the one. I don't know, like doing this project of like going through 98 and just listening to this record over and over again the last few days, this might still be the one. I don't know. Death Threat's untouchable, but this all the way through is so good. So I'm glad that you acknowledge that.
Yeah, I mean, this has like a vibe, right? The production is not perfect, but it gives it like a character. It's sick. Like, it's sick. But yeah, Peace of Security is just untouchable. It's still the one. But yeah, this is like, goddamn, they straight up got, you know, they got great records, dude. Dan, who was number two again?
Ben.
All right, we go to Ben for his number one.
And I'm so glad Zach didn't take this one because it might be on his list. It is OKFMDOA by Dillinger Four. This is the first song on their Midwestern Songs of the Americas LP. Was this on your list, Zach?
No, this is not the song I'm going to take. I'm going to take a song, but side B of this Dillinger Four record is like in my top 10 punk albums of all time. So like this record is pretty near dartboard record for me. Side B is 100% dartboard record. Really, like, I think it's, if I was going to pick this album apart, yeah, first song, third song, last song, side A, and then all of side B is like my shit. This is like, I was going to save it for later just because I can take 10 things off this and be happy. Okay. But killer track. And like we've talked before, right? Like, on an album you love, sometimes taking the first song of the record is the best thing to do because you get that feeling that like the whole record's coming. So like that first song has a little more cachet.
Yeah, but it also is my favorite song on this record. And I think if you had taken this, I wouldn't have done an alternate song on the on this album, even though it's great, the whole thing. So what's cool about this song is it's like this excellent anti-jaded punk, anti-gatekeeper anthem. And it's got these great lines like, first you had a DIY chip on your shoulder, then you got an ego 50 fanzines wide. And here's one I guess I wasn't aware of until looking at the lyrics today. Tie a yellow ribbon around the necks of the motherfuckers living for the giving in. I love the idea about, like, you know, we tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree for supporting our troops. And it's like, you're using that as a weapon. And the cool thing about Dillinger Four, I mean, they have like EPs and 7 inches before this. This is their first album though. And this is what made me aware of them. They kind of proved to the world that you could do something totally original within the subgenre of pop punk. If you had said, oh, they're a pop punk band to me before I ever heard this album, I'd be like, I already know what it's going to sound like. And it's like, nope, this is completely not the way other pop punk sounded up until this point. So it's pretty rad that like there's still kind of uncharted territory that's solidly within how we, you know, the buckets that we've created for music.
Do you think it's melodic? Do you think it's pop punk, or do you think that it's melodic? It's fast melodic hardcore.
I think it's sort of been accepted as pop punk. Like pop punk kids think of them as a kind of a template band now. Like, oh, I could go the Lookout route, I could go the Epiphat route, I could go the Dillinger Four route, I could go the Hot Water Music route. Like, so that's just kind of how it's been. That's kind of how it's fallen in the history of things. But I mean, you know, what really is
your history? So like, huh? Well, what is Hot Water Music pop punk?
Well, I think that's another thing. They kind of got absorbed into the pop punk world.
Okay. What about Avail? Like, what are they then?
They're kind of on the border between a lot of things, you know, pop punk being one of them for sure. I think pop punk
pop punk is just like, pop punk has to have like more of a bubblegum element to it. Like is Lifetime pop punk?
I'd say that they're pop punk inflected hardcore, you know, they're like hardcore music that has pop punk elements in the respect of like Jawbreaker being pop punk. Punk with pop sensibilities.
Yeah, I mean, this has more edge to it than Lifetime. Like, Lifetime is more pop punky than this, I think. There's like a dirtiness in this. Like, this recording is interesting. It's one of my favorite things ever. It sounds like it's loud even when like you play it soft. Like, it's one of those things where, you know, we talk about the recording being the fifth member. Like, this record sounds so big and gnarly and I don't know really what they're doing. We should talk about it sometime with Patty. But like, I don't know. Putting them in the pop punk bucket like makes me want to stab you.
This is extremely poppy and extremely just a fantastic song. Like, I don't. Yeah, pop punk has so much negative connotation weighing it down by like some of the shit that's in that genre, but this is punk and it is very poppy. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think it needs to be called pop punk. It's, you know, it's interesting that you bring up like Hot Water Music and a lot of that No Idea stuff that would be maybe labeled that, but it is definitely not. It's gruff and gritty. And same as of, you know, Avail is a lot more gritty than your average like pop punk. So maybe tuneful hardcore is the best. And I mean, Lifetime is hitting that.
In fact, Mike considers NoFX melodic hardcore. He said that in an interview. And it's like, I can see why he would say that or think that. But that doesn't mean outside of his own mind, other people would call them that. But I mean, it's like you play up-tempo punk with melody and that could go any which direction, right? So it's up to whoever to decide Is this pop punk? Is this melodic hardcore? Is this punk that just is, has melody to it? I don't know. But Dillinger Four definitely has a unique sound that they created.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if you have to like narrow it down more than just saying like they're a punk band.
Yeah,
like, they're kind of like the best of what a punk band in the 90s could possibly be. Right. So like they can kind of like own the whole fucking tent. Like they're the best one. So like you don't have like the best bands of a genre. You don't have to like put them in like do a subcategory. Right.
Yeah. You don't call the Ramones pop punk. They're just punk.
That's a great point. Right. You don't have to call like the Sex Pistols. Oh, they're 77 punk.
Yeah.
They're just fucking punk.
I think, you know, I think the argument could be made that it's pop punk filtered through the Midwest, as opposed to when we think of these other pop punk bands, we generally think of like nice sunny places and not the Midwest. I think there's a definite Midwestern, I mean, it's in the title of the album, but there's a definite Midwestern sensibility of this band overall that I think comes through. The matrix of the record says real punk shovels snow. These guys wear this like this absolute Midwesternness on their sleeve.
100%. But Clevo, Screeching Weasel's from Chicago.
True.
I was just gonna say that.
You know, but hey, this is so good, and you know, Reggie loves him some Dillinger Four.
Yeah, this record is one of my favorite things of all time. So watch your mouth calling it pop punk band. Dan, are you number three?
Yeah.
Do it.
All right. I've got to play Strategic. So in the strategic way, I am not going to let this song be taken by someone else. So I am going with some of the best lyrics of this year with the best sounding hardcore and maybe the defining line of what it is like to intelligently think about a certain topic. And I'm going with Count Me Out, Bane. I think this song is one of those, you know, fuck you, you moved on songs while doing it in such an intelligent manner. Like, hey, I support you changing. You can do whatever you want. But when you sit around and talk shit about everything you once based your whole life on, that's when you can count me out. I love that concept, that line, that just feeling. And plus the way this song is structured and the sing-alongs and the gang vocals, everything about it is perfect. It develops in a really fun way with like palm muting and the toms, and like I can see, you know, what brought me here to this scene in the first place, like it's, and I can still count the ways, and it's just like it's a hardcore song reflecting on hardcore, and then it also is addressing the fact that certain people turn around and talk like, oh, that's when I was a fucking kid, fuck off, like this will matter to us forever. And when you think it's lame, it's actually you who became lame. And I think this song's perfect.
Yeah, I love it. This song also, like, it kind of put them in, like, a little bit of that zeitgeist, you know? Like, this is the year of, like, the Floor Punch LP. That shit is still, like, going strong, like, that Youth Crew revival. And, like, this is a song that kind of, like, they're not in that lane, but there were a lot of people that liked that lane that, like, this is a song that made them like Bane.
Yeah.
You know? Made them branch out a little bit of that lane. Like maybe they were a full Youth Crew and then it's like, oh, but I like the Bane 7 Inches too. You know, it's a great pick. It's like my favorite song by them. This is Superhero and fuck, great song and great lyrics. I love this pick, Dan. Clevo, what do you think about this?
This is the standout. This might actually be, I mean, Superhero 2. This really is like the Bane EPs. This is really like you know, top one or two songs from that. Especially because like In Pieces has such like a burn, like groovy vibe to it, and Count Me Out is just like so straightforward. You know, I think we may have talked about this song on the pod before, but when we did backups for this, the part where it says shed your pants, shed your past, I think we a bunch of us were saying shit your pants because we didn't know. Which is so funny. And I think that every time it comes up, I think Bedard is probably just so bummed out at all of us. It's like me and LaCroix, Wrench was there. There were so many people there for that. But yeah, you know, it's really great to see, you know, we're talking about like, this was 25 years ago. It's really great to see, you know, that, you know, when now that Bane has decided to, you know, that there's no point in being broken up, seeing them play recently to like 3,000 people was just fucking next level. So, you know, good on them. Yeah, it really is, you know, one of their best songs. And, you know, still, you know, as a band that has written so many LPs and has so many songs, you know, the fact that they're, you know, this is still like always in the set list. So yeah, this is the Bane pick for the year.
Ben, you want to speak on this or should I send it to Clevo for his number one?
Yeah, great pick. I had this as an honorable. So this, if gun to my head to pick a Bane song for 98, it would have been this. And it's funny, Superhero is technically 97. So, cause you know, a lot of us, I guess I got into the 97, 7-inch in 97, but a lot of it got lumped into that CD with all three on it, you know? And then, so a lot of people heard this, all the stuff for the first time in 98, but great pick.
Hell yeah. All right, Clevo, what's your number one?
Obviously, you guys know I'm going with Floor Punch with my first pick. Going to take Washed Up at 18. You know, again, yes. lead off track on the LP. I could have gone many ways with this one. I think Washed Up at 18, you know, we've talked, you know, so much about Floor Punch. You know, there's a whole episode on the Division One Champ 7-inch. I think that this song stands up against anything on the demo, anything on the 7-inch. And I think it's really because of the fact, you know, we talked about breakdowns and fast parts, you know, this really, you know, it just comes in, you know, with the lyrics, you know, like just talking, you know, unabashedly straight edge, you know, talking about like young kids just not hanging around. But, you know, when after that first fast part, you know, just when it kicks into the, you know, I hope you enjoyed your little stay, you know, it's just fast parts, breakdowns, fast parts, like I would say like straight ahead fast. And it's really, you know, I think it's what Floor Punch, you know, it's a Floor Punch song, like I said, that can just stand up to the rest of their catalog.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is one of the ones on the record. The other one being The Answer. Like The Answer and this are like the two songs on the LP that are like demo 7-inch level. Yeah, this is great. I love the switch from the scissor beat to like the straight fast beat, straight fast double time. And then the lyrics so much. Like, you know, hardcore is so welcoming now and I'm all with that. Right. But like there is a little, like some of these lyrics like feel good to read, right? Like sometimes it is satisfying to be bitter and have someone else like lay it out there. What you had, you were giving, you were never a part of our scene. Fuck yeah.
Well,
you know,
I think that you can look at it in hindsight and, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm an expert on the current hardcore scene, but, you know, I think that, you know, hardcore being as huge as it is now, you know, and how many 18 year old hardcore kids am I talking to at this point? So maybe I should shut up, but I'm not going to, like, you know, how many kids are going to show up and think that like, you know, they're going to be like, so straight edge, or I'm so hardcore, I'm so tough guy or this. And then, you know, how many of those kids are still like showing up acting like this and then just like fading away really quickly. So I'm sure it's still relevant.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm 18 in 98 when this comes out. So I was
like, and you were washed up.
No, I wasn't washed up until when I was 24. I was washed up as a motherfucker. I was one of the worst, dude. Me at 24 is about as lame as you can be. 24 to 25. And like that year that I don't play hardcore music, right? And then like got that fucking itch, you know, had to come back and play music again. But like, yeah, end of 2004-05, I was washed up as fuck. But at 18, dude, I was going everything I could and I was living, breathing hardcore. But like, I mean, all my peers were too, right? Like you're still young. I can't imagine being washed up at 18. She's still so young. But anyway, these lyrics are sick. It's like that little bit of meanness. When 4Punch like taps into just a little bit of meanness, that's when they're at their best, right? A little bit of like when Porter just gets a little bit mean.
A little
spite. Not all the way mean, but just, yeah, a little bit of spite. Like that's what it's about. That's when it's great.
I mean, it's funny because we can talk about Porter's meanness, but let's also talk about on the back of the record where in the merry-go-round and King Shot sitting on Porter's back instead of on one of the merry-go-round horses. Like, so, you know, both sides here, you know, like he's funny as hell. And then also, you know, it takes this shit seriously.
Subconsciously, sure. This could have probably influenced Drug Free Adult a little bit. On a subconscious level, I didn't channel this, but it's so funny that the topic is very similar.
I'm calling bullshit on it being subconscious. I think you're the sure. I'm thinking a little bit of forgetfulness and washed up it, or excuse me, Dan, your song is a companion piece. How about that?
Yeah, let's call it that then.
All right, let's go to me for my number two. I am taking, let's see here. I'm going In Cold Blood with the song Lost in Doubt off Hell on Earth. This is one of the greatest songs of all time. One of the greatest hardcore songs, one of the greatest heavy metal songs, one of the greatest songs that transcends all genres. Oftentimes, you know, you see a list posted. It's like, you know, Rolling Stone's top 100 rock songs or top 500 rock songs, you know, and I flipped like the top 20 and I'm like, well, is In Cold Blood Lost in Doubt on there? And if it's not, I'm like, this fucking list sucks, you know, because how could it be not included? This song is like a straight up face melter, you know, starts with like that clean channel. Ding, 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 ding. Like, it's the most face melting solo with like nice, heavy sounding major chord, like chord progressions behind it, you know, and then it gets real stompy and then it cuts out and it does like this nice, like, you know, clean channel melodic part build up to the same solo. They're like, that solo was so sick, we're going to hit it again. You know what I mean? And I don't know, dude, that build up part when it's like the, you know, that emotional melodic part in the middle. I'm generally a hater of melodic metal, but this is like one of the greatest things ever. Like it rivals like all those like Metallica parts to me, you know, like, and that's the stuff of the early Metallica stuff that makes it stand apart. Like the thrash is all fine, but there were other great thrash bands. What Metallica did so great is like they created these pussy parts in like their big tentpole songs, right? That like made them songs that stood out from all the rest of the bands that just played thrash. You know, so, and like this part totally rivals that stuff, you know, to my smooth brain. So I don't know. I fucking love this song. One of my favorite songs of all time. I think I've mentioned on the pod before, like basically every time that Retaliate's going to write an LP, it starts with me like sending this record to Roger and saying, here, write something like this. And we've never, you know, never landed there, but like literally this LP has been like what we're chasing, you know, on every, or where I start chasing on every single record, you know, and we end up somewhere else. But like, this is kind of the blueprint of what I'm always going for. So, that's that. Clevo, how you feel about the song and this album?
You know, great song, great album. I'm still kicking myself because I had this record on, you know, I had like the white vinyl version and I have no idea where it went. If I sold it or traded it or whatever, because I actually went to pull it. I was thinking I had it and went to pull it out today to listen to it as I was getting ready for this. And yeah, I'm, you know, I guess I'm going to have to give up my nickname again for that one. So, had him on the list, was sure that you were going to take something off of it. So, wasn't quite sure which way I would go, but this kind of frees up something else for me later too. So, great pick. And, again, this is another band that we've talked about a few times before.
I still have it. I just looked. I have it on red, not on white. But I don't know. I'm not a completist, so if I have one and like the cover is like the original, I'm happy. Let's see here. Sorry. Dan, you want to say anything on this, or should I shoot it to Ben for his number two?
Yeah, I Bear No Shame is my jam off this, but yeah. God, what an LP this is. And it so went under the radar when it came out. I mean, I think people like checked it out, but it's recorded at Mars by Bill Kerecki. That's all you need to hear, essentially, right? And then it's got A Double writing songs, and he does the vocals too, right?
No, it's like I think that's the knock on the band, right? Like, they brought in the guy from who? Mushroom Head or something, Clevo?
It's
they brought in a dude that wasn't really in the band that sang, right? It's like, anyway, I think part of the reason why this didn't catch on is because the dude that sang on this is great, but was he not in the band long term? Like, I think this dude was like a hired gun, and I don't know how many shows they played. All right, Ben, let's go to you for your number two.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it pop punk, or I guess you're going to yell at me again because this next pick isn't really pop punk, or maybe it is. Kid Dynamite, Bookworm. That is off the first Kid Dynamite album. By far the poppiest song on this album, and really the poppiest song they ever wrote. This could have gone bad, but it's just so good and catchy. I love it when he says, "This chapter is in this book that I haven't even read yet." I feel like this is like one or two steps away from being in Fat Wreck territory, but there's no doo-dat, doo-dat, or fart jokes. So it just narrowly avoids that. When you think it's going to be slow throughout the entire song, it gets really fast at the end. So it's kind of like a reverse breakdown. You have slow verses and slow choruses, and then a fast C section. It was also cool at the time to hear like what Dan and Ari did separately after Lifetime broke up. And then you can figure out the differences in their tastes. So obviously Dan's the guitarist of this band. So this is like the Dan side of things. And in general, there's a real Gorilla Biscuits influence on this album, although not on this song. But it's just like, this could totally have been the skipper on the album. Like, oh, this is like their like poppy pop punk song, but it's like, oh, it's actually the best song on the album, in my opinion.
Yeah. Dan or Clevo, do you have anything on this?
Oh, that's a killer song. It is almost like, because it is Dan, but with that new singer, it's almost the new singer doing the, all right, this is my tribute to your old band, Dan. It's very Lifetime-ish. And I do like that the song structure has like the pre-chorus and then the chorus. It just goes catchy verse to like a pre-chorus that's a little bit like stands out in a not catchy manner, and then goes into a very catchy chorus. It works really well structurally. Like it allows you to really enjoy both sides of melody over that little tiny bridge chorus part. I like this a lot, and it is the total, holding hands song of the record.
It's a pop punk song. Absolutely. But it's sick, because any song that goes fast to the end is sick.
But so I actually have this song on my list, because there's another song that has a similar tempo and structure later in the record that is nowhere near as good as this one. I can't remember which song it is. I think the thing that saves this song is totally that like that fast refrain, because it's like, it's an actual fast part. It's not just like, you know, it's not just like pop punk fast. It's like an actual like fast part on the song. I also love like in the melodic part where it's like, he's like, once upon a time, like, it's got that really catchy like hook in the middle. But yeah, this is, aside from the songs that were on the demo, this is probably the best song on this record.
I think the song you're thinking of is Pacifier, is the one that's similar to this near the end of the record.
Yeah, it's near the end of the record. Funny Kid Dynamite story, though. Back in the days of the Rev Board, when the singer of Kid Dynamite was quitting the band and they were going to break up, someone started the rumor that Standhard was going to move to Philly and sing for Kid Dynamite. and it's still like every once in a while it comes up because like apparently like I want to say Dan Yeman found out about it and he was really bummed out like that this rumor had started, but it was like 100% like Detox was behind it and like a bunch of other people. There was a press release where like Jesse wrote this. Well, Jesse posted this whole thing. I think Detox and maybe even Weinberg was behind it. But yeah, this whole thing that like I'm quitting Right Brigade. I'm moving to Philly. I'm going to sing for Kid Dynamite. And then that was like the Rev Board thing for like a week. I could not get out of this year without mentioning that.
So this plot was created on the Mullet Board and then went to the Rev Board.
I actually think it was I can't remember if it was a Mullet Board thing or a Rev Board thing.
Well, some questions will never be answered. Like, why are we here, man? All right, Dan, let's go to you for number two.
Okay. All right, let's. Now, do I want to go strategic and get something that will be taken by someone else, or should I go for the honest number two? I think I'm going to leave that one hanging out there and hopefully loop back and grab it. And I'm going to take Look My Way by Madball as my number two.
Yeah.
What a fucking track. The punctuation of the way the band hits those measures to punctuate the lines like, look my way, like throughout the song, and like, it's so good. And it still holds up so well in their live set. What I love about Look My Way is that at this point, like, Freddie has got his perfect Madball voice, like the Hold It Down vocal, like that we'll really love on the next record because the music meets the quality of the voice. The Look My Way LP is inconsistent, I feel, but this title track is just stands out as like an all-time Madball great. And yeah, like I say, it's still in their set today and it still garners like crazy awesome reaction. And the reason is because it's a fucking banging hardcore song. Just the way Madball does it. I absolutely love this song.
Yeah, this is great. This is all time Madball. Like, and Dan, that was great to call out like the cymbal chokes on the verses, the cymbal chokes and then going to the toms, like,
yeah,
this song is all-time great, Madball. This record is like the first one that's not perfect, you know? I'd give it like an 8 out of 10 instead of like, you know, set it off being like a 10 out of 10 and maybe demonstrating my style is a 9 out of 10, 9.5 out of 10.
I think it's
this one. Yeah, that's a 10. Yeah, respect. This one, it does have like a handful of tracks that like aren't up to the level of the first two records, but like, whatever, you still got like half an LP of like perfect Madball songs, you know, which is like better than 90% of any other hardcore band, you know? So yeah, I love it. This is one of my favorite songs of all time and lyrically so good. Yeah, I love everything about it. Clevo, you want to speak on this or should I shoot it to Ben?
Wait, is Ben up next or is it me?
You're up.
Excuse me. Yeah. Ben, do you want to speak on this Madball song, or should I shoot it to Clevo? Clevo, let's go to you for your number two.
Because we're going right to the next song, because I'm taking Moment of Truth. I got really nervous that Dan was going to take Moment of Truth right there. I'm walking down the street. I will not show you fear. No time for sympathy. I give my cold stare. I don't care what you think of me.
So
right good. Now. I think this is the standout track on the record. Look My Way is great, but this song just gets me every time. At the end, you know, all the schism and hype will cease once we take this beef to the motherfucking streets. This is the standout. This song gets me every damn time. Just like gets me going. You know, everything Dan said on top of this, I had a very, very short list of songs I had to get, and this was on there.
That's so funny. Like, you probably heard there for a second, like, cause I was like, dude, is my favorite song the third song? We can, cause maybe we'll just roll right in, dude, and I'll take Funny Cut Off next. So what's up? And then we take 1, 2, and 3, maybe on the playlist this time, I'll roll it through like that too. Holy shit. Moment of Truth, great song. That's what we're talking about. Like, of the first four Madball records, first of all, we did a One's Gotta Go on, I think it was episode 200. I did it with Richie and Joe. And this is the one I lost of those first four. But again, it's like, goddamn, these first three songs are so good. Pushing Me, so good. Our Family, so good. Been There, Done That, so good.
Yeah.
You know? Like, what the fuck, dude? It's almost like an LP's worth of material right there, you know? And I had the CD for this. I don't think I had the LP at the time. So it's like, I can skip a couple tracks. It doesn't take anything away from the record. But yeah, this 1, 2, 3 is like, holy shit. So good. Cut Off, this song, not to cut you off there, Clevo.
No, that's fine.
Too much. We can talk these two songs. But Cut Off is like a... It's Madball existing in that post-Hapery world. You know, Satisfaction comes out in 97. This is Madball, like, kind of rolling with that a little bit. Like, the chugs. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know? It's so good, though. Like, they make it work in their style with Freddie, like, flowing over the top of it. And then they, like, chop it up and turn it into, like, a sick mosh part, too. Like, fuck. It's, you know, I've said a million times on the pod, that's, like, my favorite thing about punk and hardcore is, like, take a simple idea, work it over in your style, turn it into something special, right? And, like, that's what this song is. So, hell yeah, Moment of Truth, Cut Off, next on the list. Dan, what did you want to say on Moment of Truth or Cut Off?
Well, Moment of Truth is sick because it's a Gangstar title as well, so respect that. But what's cool about the three songs that we've got here, so Look My Way opens with the down, and it's got the hi-hat being hit, and it just gives you that, the bounce that you're going to get in 2 years that is going to be like platinum bounce. This is giving you the roots of that, you know? So you've got the Madball bounce and the swagger with that song and the actual menacing, like actually proper tough lyrics of like, yeah, look my way, you're going to get smashed. And then you got Moment of Truth, which is the Madball like traditional NYHC slam style song. You know, it's giving you the ability fast, like slamming, like for the verses and stuff. And it is just so good. And then it builds to an awesome sing along, like pylon style. And then Cut Off, it, like you say, is giving you a bit more of the post hate breed, but it still has like NYHC in its veins. Like, I mean, it's Madball. It can't not have NYHC in its veins. This 1, 2, 3 punch is so good. And Ben is just sat there with like clouds around his head right now going, he's got his knees up to his chest and he's just rocking back and forth like, oh my god, three Madball picks in a row.
I think he's been listening to Temptation or Restraint and taking notes, dude. He's got to get one on his list now.
Yeah,
fuck it, roll into it. But the other thing about Moment of Truth that's so great is like the way how it just starts, right? No bullshit. Yeah. We're just in fast with singing, right? And like they do it again on the next LP, first song.
That's what I'm saying. It's the slammer. Like, it comes out slamming.
Some people are going to take some people are going to be upset with that verbiage, Dan, just because people think slamming is like the hard mosh shit, you know?
Okay.
Comes out blazing, maybe.
It comes out, if it wasn't on the East Coast, as a circle pit part.
Yeah, it comes out raging, yeah. Like out the gate, like on a fast part with the singing in. It's so sick. Yeah. Hell yeah. All right, Ben, time for you to pick another pop punk song.
Yeah. Actually, I'm just curious. Moment of Truth by Gangstar came out in 1998 as well. So maybe it was sheer coincidence or maybe not.
They should have sampled Guru's mom on the beginning of this song.
Yeah, or maybe Gangstar lifted from hardcore like Metallica lifted And Justice for All.
Yeah.
Well, Gangstar wins because Madball doesn't rap about the Beverly Center, the mall closest to my house when I was growing up.
So, it all comes back to Ben. Hardcore is built around Ben Merlis references everywhere.
That's right. All right, Ben.
I'm going with the Madball song by the Nerve Agents known as Unblossomed. I think that the Nerve Agents self-titled 12-inch is the best record Eric Ozine has ever been on, which I suppose is a controversial opinion in some circles. I wouldn't change anything about this record. I think the 12-inch EP might be the best format for hardcore bands who are really good. If you're not that good, 7-inch maybe. If you're really good, 12-inch EP. I like this song in particular because it gets so California towards the end. Instead of going into like a standard breakdown part, they bust into this TSOL adolescent style mid-tempo 1.5 section. You know, is this your destiny? On the ride cymbal and all that. And like eighth notes on the ride cymbal. And that sound was like totally extinct in 1998. Like who was doing that style? Even though it's only one part of one song on this record, it's like, hell yeah. And like, if you look at there's like a mission statement on the inside of the record or the inside of the CD booklet, maybe, I don't know where it is on the record, but the goal was to like bridge punk and hardcore. And Eric even talks about it on 185 Miles South. So go back and listen to that episode. And I think they really accomplished that at least at their own shows, maybe not in the bigger universe of punk and the bigger universe of hardcore, but going to their shows, they definitely like reignited that spirit of, you know, punk and hardcore being one and the same.
Well, it's the zeitgeist of the time too, right? Like this era, like coming out of the back end of like the Youth Crew Revival stuff, this is where it's going. It's going Nerve Agents, Kill Your Idols, Tear It Up, you know, and then like, you know, even breaking off to like the Life's All, the Web Is Next, like all that stuff too, right? But like, so it's like keeping that straightforward, fast hardcore, but making it a little less clean, a little more punk. Like it's going that direction. And this is right there on the front end of it.
Hell yeah.
Also, this has a great rhyme. One of the best rhymes in the history of punk. When he says, is this our destiny? Or is this our destiny? Is this our destiny? Hey, hey.
I think he really flourishes like as doing this band after Redemption 87, like vocally, like he's kind of all over the place with pronunciations and making like those little hey hey's and those little flourishes that he does. Like he's really like bringing a lot to the table as a vocalist.
Yeah, this is so good. So good. Never loved the album cover, but it does match with like the band name and all that.
Absolutely. No. And I like the secret skulls in the clouds.
Yeah, that's true. That is a nice thing. And how about a little bit of that baby blue up top? How about that?
Oh yeah.
Clevo, you want to speak on this or should I shoot it to Dan for his number three?
Yeah, this is I think that actually, you know, the artwork for this, you know, matches more. I think that after this record, you know, I think they get, I don't think they change as much, you know, on the White Owl record, but I think they start to get maybe a little more adventurous, a little weirder, so to speak, as opposed to, I think this really is that sort of straightforward, fast, like we're just going to do like a fast punk band and just hit it. You know, by the time Butterfly Collector comes around, I think they're a little bit, you know, beyond that.
Respect. All right, let's go on to Dan for his number three.
Okay. I'm going to choose what could have been my number one. I'm going to take it now because I just think it's incredible. And this is the debut of this band that I will go on to love, 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 and be so sad that they did not play Indecision 30. This is the debut of Count Me Out with the song What We Built.
Yeah.
This is a perfect hardcore song for me. I mean, incredible vocals, just enough melody with tasteful use of octaves, you know, a little nod to Octavio, but not bringing him in for the session. It's so good, and it's hard, and it is so Chain of Strength derived without sounding just like them. And lyrically, it's incredible. It's a really, you know, it's a hardcore song about hardcore and about some of the negative things that crop up in a hardcore scene. So it's like, we all contribute to this scene. We all contribute to this greater thing. And, you know, people being shallow and talking shit on each other kind of pulls this apart. And, you know, you did mention earlier that this was the first year that you actively wanted a band to fail. Well, this song is kind of like the anti of that to an extent. I think it's brilliant. And I think the way the song is structured with the way it's like, oh, that we've built, and then it'll let the drum go for a bit by itself and it comes back in, and then this just has such an epic, fast build in the middle with the vocals being quick over this like really emotional building part of the song. It's such effective hardcore songwriting. And I think Count Me Out, I think they are the criminally underrated band of hardcore. If I was to name one, this would be the number one underrated band for me across the thing. They should be regarded as one of the true greats across the board, like that people just know from generation to generation, in my opinion. And this is this is what they came out, and they came out fucking swinging. I love this song so much.
Yeah, I think you can make an argument for all that, Dan. This is a great song. This is the best song off this record. Gets re-recorded on 110.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree with you. I mean, not that many hardcore bands do two great LPs, especially, you know, in the around the time that they did two great LPs. Like, bands are doing it a little more now. But yeah, one of the greats. And I don't know why that is. Maybe they got lumped in a little bit with, like, the Youth Crew stuff, like, unnecessarily. Like, some of the early stuff kind of might have gotten lumped in with that, and it's not totally accurate.
And but, they didn't come from a fashionable town, like a fashionable hardcore town or scene, you know?
At the time, but they're from Richmond, right?
Yeah.
So, like, a lot has come from that since, you know, and, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a baffling one because, yeah, two great LPs, and this is a different record, you know what I mean, than the two classic LPs. So,
yeah.
What the fuck, people? The fuck? Love this. Ben, you want to speak on this, or should I shoot it to Clevo?
Yeah. Dan, you'd never guess what my number four pick was going to be. My very next pick, what it was going to be. This song, you fucking asshole. And I seriously considered switching Nerve Agents and Count Me Out in case someone picked this. But I always had this feeling that, like, I'm the only one that rides for this record, and everyone else is either 110 or permanent. Everyone else is arguing which LP is better. And I'm like, neither. The fucking early shit's the best. And people think I'm nuts. So I thought, there's a chance that no one's going to pick this stuff. But yeah, I like it more than the the albums. And everything else I was going to say, you already said, Dan, about it kind of it being very Chain influenced, but not being, you know, a Chain knockoff. And I can listen to this back to back with like the 88 Youth Crew shit, like a mix with, you know, Youth of Today going into this song, going into Gorilla Biscuits. No problem. It would fit.
Oh, right. Yeah. They hold up as good as any of the greats, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. All right, Clevo, you want to speak on this or you want to take your number three?
You know, I think this record just passed me by somehow. Because, you know, I definitely, you know, knew these guys and knew what they were doing. And just this record, I didn't really get into them until 110 actually came out. So I'll have to check it out. For my next pick... staying on the East Coast, I'm gonna go In My Eyes from the Difference Between, and I'm gonna take Actions Fall Short. This is my favorite song from this record. I love, especially when you listen to it in headphones, the verse parts with the harmonics switching back and forth between the stereo field. So the harmonics in one side and the vocals pan to the other side. The lyrics for this too, I've always really liked, this song just really, from the first time I heard this, just really jumped out at me. So, I've been a fan down since day one and, just really have always liked this.
It's the last song on the demo.
Yeah.
Ben, what do you think about this?
Great pick. I had The Cost, the K-O-S-T as, an honorable. It was hard for me to pick like one song off this album that's like the standout song. I don't know if I have one, but yeah.
But that's a different year, Ben. 97. It's a demo only. Difference Between is not. Oh, I'm a fucking idiot, dude. I'm talking about 97. You guys are talking 98.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is 1998 Super 7. So I'm looking at the LP and I can't pick out one song off the first LP that's like the big standout track. So kind of all of it's good. So yeah, great pick. I mean, my go-to is the second LP when I just want to listen to In My Eyes. But when this came out, we listened to the shit out of it and saw them a bunch of times too.
The intro into This Is Our Time is fucking all-time classic. Come on.
Hey, I don't talk that just yet.
Okay. Respect. Respect. I love it. Let me make a note here real quick. 103. In My Eyes, talk. I got to edit out some of that because I was a moron.
Get a brain, Morans.
That's right. Okay. Let's see here. That was Clevo. Oh, shit. Back to me. The fuck? Can I give up my turn? Fuck it. I'm going to take Kill Your Idols. Is the song called Can't Take It Away?
Yes. I was just about to take it next pick.
I'm so bad with song titles, but yeah. All right. For my round number four, I'm going to take Kill Your Idols, the song Can't Take It Away, off This Is Just the Beginning. And if I'm being honest, Enjoy the Show was always my favorite Kill Your Idols song, but God damn, this song it's their hit. It's so good. I listened to it today and I was like, fuck, it's the best and the biggest for a reason, right? So simple, musically perfect, lyrically perfect. One of the greatest hardcore songs of all time, straight up. Kill Your Idols, Can't Take It Away. Dan, you said you were going to take this.
Yeah, this was going to be my next pick. I love the Reagan Youth intro, that it like subtly like does the Reagan Youth like do 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 do, like from No Class. And then it goes in and it gives you like somewhere between Antidote and Negative Approach on the verses. You know, it's just raging, stomping ahead. And his delivery is fast and tuneful and extra aggressive at the same time. And he has a great sounding voice. And then the Can't Take It Away From Me with the negative space of the drum, you know, the drums just like ring outs over the drums. you just know that when we saw them, and a lot, we saw them a lot in these like 98 and 99, just those sing-alongs for this song were just epic. Big pylons, like absolutely great. And Kill Your Idols are one of those bands that was just amazing because they would pull in the punks, the, you know, punk skins, hardcore kids, youth crew kids, like even like sideways hat hardcore kids. Like everyone was just up front for Kill Your Idols. It was fucking sick. And this is their best song, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I should say the first band that ever gave In Control, like, and actually, you know, Hoods brought us up to Sacramento first, so I take that back. But one of the bands that gave us early opportunities off the demo brought us to NorCal. I think we played Gilman and we played some like weird little mining town. It was a great show.
We also came down to San Diego on the demo a few times.
Oh, yeah. But I consider San Diego my second home.
Yeah.
So I'm talking out of town, not standing or Oxnard. Yeah, Ben, what do you think about this? Or actually, we should say Clevo. What do you think about this before I shoot it to Ben?
Yeah, I, for some reason, Kill Your Idols is just not a band I've ever really, they've never clicked with me. I'll check it out on the playlist.
You'll love this song, Clevo.
Like, I mean, and I'm wondering if it was just a time and place thing, but I'll definitely check it out on the playlist.
Sick. Ben, you want to speak on this or you want to jump right into your number four?
Yeah, this is the Kill Your Idols song. Like, you're right. This is the hit. This is the one that, this might be the first Kill Your Idols song I heard. Was this on a comp? I don't even remember how I first heard Kill Your Idols. Maybe it was just seeing them play. But this is like, if someone said, hum a Kill Your Idols song right now, this would be like the one I would hum. Although, they had a song about hunting that I thought was really good, but it wasn't from 98. It was from earlier.
Uncle Fred.
Yeah. Redneck Mentality with a Gun. That's a very good song too. Great pick. Everyone compares them to Negative Approach. They had a song called Stop Comparing Us to Negative Approach. And I just looked at the tune stack for the Negative Approach LP and I was wondering like, what's the closest song that Negative Approach did to this song? And it's like, I don't know. But I can see why people compared the two. All right. My number four pick will be, since Dan ganked my number four pick with Count Me Out, I am going to take something that he might have on his list just to spite him. So five Corporations by Fugazi, which is it's from the album End Hits. Was that on your list, Dan?
I have a different one.
This is the only...
It was on my list, Ben, so you fucked me over.
Ha ha ha. This is the only song I would ever consider taking from this album to put on my list, but Five Corporations is kind of, to me, maybe the last great Fugazi song. I'm not as into the later records as I am the earlier records. It's funny, I get shit from Dan for not liking late Fugazi enough, and I get shit from Zach for liking Fugazi at all in the first place. So can't win with these guys.
When have I ever given any of you guys shit for liking Fugazi? It's just they're not a hardcore band. They're a perfectly great band. You know, like you guys like alternative rock. That's sick. Like no big deal. You know, like if you like Pearl Jam or you like Fugazi, it makes no difference to me. Like that's cool.
They're punk.
I don't care. This song reminds me of, it's got the drums of like Lust for Life by Iggy Pop. Dun, 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 ga, dun, ga, dun, ga, dun, ga, dun, 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 ga, dun, ga, dun, dun. And I always used to think that the five corporations they were singing about were the five major labels that were left because there was the big six. And then one, Universal bought Polygram in 1998, therefore making them only five corporations left. Now we're down to three, but it turns out they weren't singing about major record labels at all. They were singing about the five biggest media corporations that control all the media in the world. And I don't know how many of those are left, but that was kind of disappointing to learn because I thought I was like, oh, I'm smart. I can name all five major record labels. Like, that's not even what the song's about. but it's up tempo. It's as close to punk as you're going to get on this record, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's some other shit I'm forgetting, but we'll find out soon with whatever Dan picks.
Well, I asked Ian what this song's about, and he's like, it's actually about, I wrote a song about someone in the LA area who would think this is about five record labels, but it's actually about these five news corporations.
That sneaky
bastard. That's a callback to Ben thinking everything is referencing him. No, this is a great song. And Ian's voice sounds so cool on it.
Yeah. Clevo, you want to speak on this, or should I shoot it to Dan for his number four?
Yeah. When I first got this record, I thought he was saying fuck corporations, which, you know, wouldn't totally be out of line with Ian anyways. This is probably this and the song that I assume Dan is going to take later are probably like the two songs. I do probably like the next Fugazi record a little bit better, but this record's got some tracks.
Hell yeah. All right, Dan, let's go to you for your number four.
Okay. I'm going to go back to the floor punch well, and I am going to AC on a Saturday night. Let It Ride by Floor Punch. This might be slightly comedic on the LP, but it's a fucking banger, man. It is such a good song. Going to AC on Saturday night. So you can picture what's going on. Although I'd never bet on Red. You never bet on Red. It's such a good song. It is the standout from the LP, in my opinion. It is so great. And it gives you that little bit of levity that you don't get. You know, we talked about the spite of Floor Punch, where they really, really are dialed in. But this is like a crew song that you can see everyone on the back of Division One Champs, like in their crew, like all loving this and like hanging out. And I don't know, there's just something about it. It's the song that always caught my attention from the LP, because the 7-inch is always better than the LP, but this is the one that gives you that little bit of difference. And it is like their almost, for lack of a better term, it's their like punk song, really. You know, it's like a catchy, fun sing-along song that is just so good. I love this song.
I hate this song. It's like a joke song, and I don't know, I think it sucks. And I think it killed Floor Punch.
If you like this song, you should check out Panty Raid by Murphy's Law, because the riff is very similar.
True. And the way Rock comes in to start and then go into AC, it's so good. I love it.
Yeah, it works for like anyone else. Like Clevo said, great Murphy's Law song. And I love Murphy's Law. I think that they're doing it maybe as a tribute to that. But like, as far as what I'm looking, again, we say on the pod, right? Whatever you want to do with your band, do it, you know? And like, this was a hit. Like I saw him after this came out, right? This is one of the biggest hits there was, but man, I hate this song.
You just want spite 24/7.
I want like, you know, the best simple hardcore that can be delivered. And they're one of the best bands doing it at the time. And yeah, this is just a jokey punk song. Like, I don't know. I don't like it. So whatever. That's just me.
When's the last time you listened to it?
I listened to this whole LP in the last 2 months.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know. I love Floor Punch. I did the whole episode on it, right? I love the demo and the 7-inch, and this LP to me is pretty hit or miss. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't want to say anything more than that. But I think like Clevo got like the one of the best tracks, and I think that the answer is like those two are the ones that are like, holy shit, you know. But yeah, I don't know. Ben, what do you think about this song?
I liked it. I thought it was a good way to end the record. My favorite song on the album is Shotzi, which didn't make anyone's list, but
I had it on my list. I mean, I might still take it. Who knows? I had it on my list if someone took any of the other songs I had on the list. So
yeah, that's a contender. That's a standout track too. That's a good one. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Clevo for his number four.
I'm going back to the D4 well, and I'm going to take a Double Whiskey Coke No Ice. What I was going to say before when we were talking about it, how D4 has a bit of a gruff edge to them. I don't know if anyone's ever heard, but Frankie Stubbs from Leatherface does a cover of this. So if you can picture Frankie singing this, it gives it that extra gruffness. But this is also what I was saying before, where like this song, they call out Nelson Algren, who's a Chicago author, wrote a bunch of novels that take place in Chicago. The song's kind of all over the place because it's like complaining about people they run into. And then, it talks about Nelson Algren. And then the whole end part about Otis Redding with the Otis Redding sample. But this, I love this song. It's a great riff. Again, if you like this song, I think Billy Joe liked it because he probably heard this before he wrote American Idiot, but I'm not going to say anything about that. Great song. We've already said how much we love D4 on here, but definitely want to get something off this record because I think this is, at the time I probably didn't think so, but now I think it's probably one of the top LPs of the year.
Yeah, so you're top LP of the year. I'm top LP ever.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, and especially like this is the first song on side B, which I think is like one of the greatest things ever. Anyway, whatever. I've said it all. This is a great pick. Like I said, first song on side B, so it gives me that feeling. I had this LP early. I listened to the side by side, and like, yeah, side B all day.
I had the CD first, and I think the tracking on the CD where it goes from Supermodels, is it Supermodels that's before this, or it's
Superpowers?
Superpowers. I think. It's like Superpowers, this, Supermodels,
yep.
Shut Your Little Trap. Like, I think that those four songs in a row that just are really, the sequencing is great.
Yeah, I mean, we can roll right in because I'm going to take Superpowers, full song title. Superpowers enable me to blend in with machinery. And I 100% agree with you, Clevo. Like, I've always thought the last song on side A going into all of side B is like where the magic here is. Although, the third song on this record, is a fine line between the monkey and the robot.
Yeah.
Might be my favorite song. And that first song, it's like very hard. This thing is perfect. But yeah, like that run from the last song on side A through the end of side B, because the Great American Going Out Business Sale might be the best song. Fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know. But like Superpowers, I think it's a song that kicks the most ass.
Yes.
Right? It's the Dillinger 4, the fastest beat they do. It's very pumped. And then like that chorus, the fuck 'em all, like the tempo they hit on that is like so caveman before caveman, if you really dial in, and it's just a tick faster than you think it'd be. Like, I don't know. It's so good. It's just a headbanger part. And then it's like, you already got a perfect verse, a perfect chorus, but like that bridge breakdown part, whatever you want to call it, dun. And all that says of the workplace turned from effigy to reality. And I wish it was that part. It's like, God damn, dude. And then picking up to like the two-step part after that, like, oh my God. And then like to peel back another layer. Like if you go in and read these lyrics, like, you read pretty much any Dillinger 4 lyrics, it's like they hit you with the catchiness of the songs and like the kick ass of the song. But like that layer is always there for you. If you want to take out the time and like read the lyrics, like they're not a band about bullshit. You know what I mean? Which is like maybe why I got so offended by the pop punk thing, because like the lyrics are so substantive or whatever the fuck. Don't get at me, Pops. Yeah, like, I don't know. It's perfect, dude. So everyone check the songs on the playlist and take the time to read the lyrics of the three songs that have been chosen. And I think you'll realize how special this band is if you don't already know. And most people know, you know, but yeah, I love it. Let's see here, Dan, or excuse me, Ben, you can take your number five.
All right. By the way, Clevo, are you aware that Double Whiskey Coke No Ice is by far the most listened to Dillinger Four song on Spotify? I wouldn't have guessed that.
It doesn't surprise me.
Okay.
Are you sure it's not Double Whiskey Coke Noice?
Noice. You took my joke. I just noticed that too. Noice. All right. We're going to get weird. I'm going to sink my chances of winning this, which I always do, around round five. Because I
think in round four.
Round four. Oh, that's right. Because of the people who hate Fugazi on the Instagram. So this is, I'm just, I guess I march to the beat of my own drummer because I am just telling you what I listened to a lot that came out in 1998. Civ put out a very, even say a polarizing record. I'd say universally despised record, 13 Day Getaway in 1998. That's their second album and second for Atlantic / Lava Records. It is not hardcore. I wouldn't even say it's a punk record. It is this like weird mod pop, like wannabe major, like, I don't know what they were trying to do, honestly, but buried within the tracks on this album is a 34-second banger entitled Owner's Manual. And it's kind of reminiscent of Good Intentions by Gorilla Biscuits. And it is also unique in that it includes a ripping bass solo by Arthur Smilios, the likes of which I've never heard in a song like this before. Like, who does bass solos? I mean, yeah, you could probably think of songs with bass solos, but 34-second raging hardcore songs with bass solos? Pickens is slim. So,
Dan, why can't he come up with anything? What band does Ben not like as raging bass solos?
What's that?
I said, why can Ben not come up with like another band, another song that has a raging bass solo and like a short punk song? What notable punk band does Ben not like notoriously? Rancid. There's like fucking 40 million songs with him.
Yeah, he hates Matt Freeman.
Oh, but shameful. Are they bass solos, or it's just him playing too many notes over the verses and the choruses in those Rancid songs?
No, just great potato bass potato, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, forget about that Doritos bag with the guitar pick in it and the silk shirts and the creepers and the fuzzy dice for a minute and just listen to this one song. It will only take you 34 seconds. Seriously, this is a hidden gem.
It is pretty good, to be fair.
Never heard it. Never heard it. Can't wait to listen to it, though. So, and I respect finding the hidden gem on a shitty CD of a band that you like.
We've done that, you know, before, like bad records, like plucking good songs off of terrible records. And this definitely qualifies.
Yeah. And that Dag Nasty All Ages Show song, God damn, that song's good. You know, straight up. Okay. Let's go to Dan for your number five.
Okay. Okay. Number five. I'm going to dip back into another band that's been mentioned because why not? I mean, my 5, 6, and 7 could all be from this record, really. Last Days, Death Threat. That's the song I'm going with, not just the LP. I'm going with the title track. This thing comes out menacing. And then, waiting for the end. It's so good. You get that Aaron Knuckles flow right out the gate where his voice just sounds different from everyone else. And you're like, there's something about this that I fucking love right out the gate, you know? And then it goes to the fast part, like the, and you're just like, oh shit. And then, you know, goes to an amazing chorus. And then after that, it builds to this break and you get the first mention. Well, first of all, it goes to parts where it does the youth crew toms in a hard way, which we love. Well, which Zach and I stand to oblivion. When you get the youth crew toms over like very, you know, kind of harder sounding music, that's just perfect. But it has like an up walk to it. Like it's just so good. But anyway, the breakdown builds and you get the first mention of SDS. And it goes into a crushing breakdown.
Yeah.
I mean,
the way he just drops it there, like real quick, right before the breakdown comes, is so sick.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Dude, the drumming on this too is like so notable. I want to like touch on that. Like, if you listen to this and just separate everything out and just listen to the drumming, it is so crisp and so good. This like everything about it, but especially like his fast beat. It's just so nice.
Well,
it's a great, great, clean fast beat. And like Aaron just dances on the top of it, you know. And Dan, what a perfect song. It has two youth crew tom parts.
Yeah.
Fucking heavy.
It does the youth crew toms and then it goes just does a floor tom driving part too, like a doom ba, doom ba, instead of it being like doo ba ba, you know? So it like alternates between that. And so in the build up to the breakdown, it's just doing the doom ba, like almost like a march into this breakdown that then just delivers. It really fucking delivers.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Goddamn.
Rules.
What a great song. What a great song. I'm so glad you picked this. So glad to have him on the list again. Clevo, you want to speak on this or you want to take your number five?
Just really quick, because it's going to tie into my next pick. I got the Last Days CD at a show. We were off on tour and we were back in Boston and we went to Brockton for a show that was Floor Punch, Death Threat, and number five, with my number five pick, I'm going to take Blood for Blood, All Fucked Up. So Blood for Blood, Death Threat, Floor Punch, playing a show in Brockton. If you think that was a fucking bloodbath, you are damn right.
Yes.
Also, Porter was wearing slides on stage and Bill kept stepping on his feet. Like, what the fuck are you doing? But anyways, Blood for Blood, All Fucked Up. I love this song. I've even loved this song back when I was still a straight edge kid. It is I wouldn't say it's a pro drinking song. It's probably as close to a straight edge song as you're going to get from Blood for Blood, but it's really it's like talking about like how he's living his life all fucked up. The line that I love in this is when he's like, I used to drink from the bottle. Now the bottle seems to drink from me. Lately, when I look in the mirror, it's a stranger staring back. I see. And then I love at the end when it goes back into that like refrain, when it's like, I gotta stop living my life. All fucked up for years and years. Yeah, I love the song, man. Fucking Blood for Blood. I feel really lucky that there were a lot of bands. I feel like in '98, a little bit of a split scene where like the rat scene. A lot of the like more punk bands were playing. But you know, the fact that we, you know, got to see and got to play shows with Blood for Blood a lot. It was great getting them on different shows. I mean, they played In My Eyes, the difference between record release show. So, they were, I'm really lucky to have seen them as many times as I did because they really were a great band. So great song. A little bit of a, I think curveball for some people on here, but this is, they were great. These two records and the 10 inch, I think are really just all in all, just the fucking great records.
100%. This record's a little, like the recording's a little strange to me. But it's got some epic songs. Bitch Called Hope and this are like, God, the ones. And I love this song. They actually played Oxnard. I think it was 98, not 99. I believe they played Oxnard at Laser Star on Easter Sunday, 1998. And it was a rager. There was probably like 70 people there, but we raged, you know, and like, this is one of the songs we raged to, you know, it was so good. Yeah, I think Voice of Defiance, the band I had quit, opened, and then Powerhouse, and then Blood for Blood, or vice versa, you know? But yeah, I mean, like, NARD Dream Show at the time, it was so sick. And yeah, great band. Hell yeah. First album is my favorite, but this is sick too.
I think, I think first album, and I think the 10-inch, I think that this is still a great record, but I think that, you know, there's a couple of things here and there. I think overall there's great songs, but I think I love the 10-inch too.
I love yeah. This and On. Like, I love Living in Exile the best. So this song is such a good choice, Clevo, because I fucking love this, because the verses are straight up just an Oi song. Like, it is just proper Oi. And then when it goes to the fast light thing, it's like full on NYHC. Then it comes back to Oi. And then when Rob starts singing, and then Buddha's doing the like over vocals at the end, when he's doing the all fucked up, and then he's doing the I gotta get out, it's just Last Resort, like straight up. It is essentially the Last Resort, and this is a great song. I'm really glad this is on the list, because it was on my like just outside, and I probably, because a couple of mine have been taken, that this may have been my seventh pick. So, yeah. Good fucking killer song.
God, I love 98, dude. There's like a couple things I really want on my list that aren't going to make it, and I'm seeing it now. We're let's actually fly through these next couple rounds. We're at 92 minutes right now. But yeah, there's stuff that, God damn, I need and I can't have.
Well, you're okay, I'm going to take.
Yeah. My number six, I'm going to take, shit. Do I take Do or Die by Fury of Five or by Agnostic Front? Both great songs, but I'm taking Fury of Five, Do or Die. It's just one of the songs that like every single part of it is fucking fun. And in like, not a, hey, we're having fun. Just as like, it's fun to listen to. Every part is fucking sick. They turn it up to 11 on every part, you know, and just go for it. And like, I don't know, just this song is perfect. Everyone knows it now. It's the best song they ever did. It's one of the greatest songs of all time. And yeah, I don't know. It's like, I think about it in a way like that Sepultura song Roots, you know, like, there's a breakdown at the end of that song, and like, it's like, okay, you just wrote like a pretty perfect, like, you know, mid-tempo metal song. But then it goes to like that final mosh, like they add a bonus mosh, you know, and it's like, God damn, that one's even harder than the one that came before it. You know, this is kind of like that too, like that end. It's like the song would have been great without it, but like that final sequence, the and the rest will lose. Like, oh my God. Like, what the fuck? It's just like the ultimate kill part. So, yeah, classic song. Got to have it on my list. And Dan, you've come around to love this now, haven't you?
Yeah. At the time, you know, in 1998, I was wary of a lot of the harder style things, probably because the way that the shows would be tainted by the people that loved this stuff. Like, people would come and you know, it was crowd killing before crowd killing with these kind of like fans of this stuff. So I was always a bit like, keep it at arm's length, but then it all started seeping in. Yeah, Fury 5 is one of those ones where it's so overtly tough guy that it is what it is, you know, like, you know, there's a hand holding a bat behind the back on the record, you know. But yeah, in the last few years, you were like, no, you need to listen to this, 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 and this. Give these all second chances. And I was like, oh, this is all great. And now I like some of the, you know, some other things that are just like so insanely hard, you know, that, you know, old me would have been like, why do you like that? And new me is like, can I get something a little harder, please?
Hey, never too late to come to the hard side, dude. Respect.
Yeah, Ben.
Yep, I know. It's never too late. Ben, let's go to you for your number six.
All right. I'm going to pick something that is not hard. Go figure. Actually, no, this isn't hard, but it's metallic, kind of. Eyelid, the song Regenerate off their only LP on Indecision Records, If It Kills. I saw this band a trillion times. It seems like they played every SoCal hardcore show between 1995 to 98. Honestly, I was kind of lukewarm on them, but because they were always a little too metal and evil sounding for my taste. But every time they played this song, it was like, fuck yeah, more of that, please. Regenerate has these fast stop and start hardcore verses. And then these chuggy two-step choruses, regenerate. And then it's got this breakdown, this halftime breakdown at the end. Or actually, and then it goes back into a fast part. So it's really got a lot of tempo changes. It still has some of those evil chords, but sort of within a very 1990 sounding hardcore song. I kind of get a Burn vibe off of this song without it feeling like a Burn rip. This is Russ singing pre-Roa.
Yeah. I got to check this out. I've been meaning to check this out for 20 years. So.
It totally does. It sounds like a different band, in all honesty, from the rest of their records, even with Russ. You know, we toured with them in 97. So I saw them quite a bit. Yeah, I have the song on my list too. But yeah, it totally if you played this for someone who was familiar with Eyelid and didn't tell them what band it was, they might not guess who it is. I love when it goes into that halftime sort of that halftime tempo in the end before it goes back into the ending part, the ending fast part.
Hell yeah. Okay, let's go to Dan for his number six.
Okay. I'm going to pick a song that fans of this band may turn their nose up and they're fucking stupid to. This song is so good. This song is so funny because it is essentially channeling a band that was channeling their band. So. I'm saying that Agnostic Front are channeling Warzone when Warzone was channeling Agnostic Front. It's a you know, it's a total riddle. But from the East Coast to the West Coast, gotta go. Lots of people will think, oh, this is, you know, whatever. No, this is a fucking track, man. This is so catchy. This is formulated perfectly. And then later in the song, it breaks down. And then just if you watch the Godfathers of Hardcore film and they're playing this in Europe, you just realize what an anthem this is. Like, to that giant, you know, hall of people singing this, it is like an anthem, literally. Like, it is so good and so empowering. And Roger's voice is still AF as fuck on it, even though it's tuneful and catchy and I don't know, it's just brilliant. I think it's a brilliant song. I mean, there is like four or five on off this LP which easily could be chosen, but you know me, I love the melody, and this is totally channeling Don't Forget the Struggle. Like, to me, I feel this is channeling Don't Forget the Struggle, which in its own right was channeling earlier, you know, Victim in Pain. So it's just brilliant all over, and it's got a ton of charisma, and I love it.
Dude, I'm so glad this is here. First off, you got the Pops vote, so shout out. Second off, one time AH called this the national anthem of Europe, so respect to that. Agree 100%.
Yeah.
And yeah, dude, like this song, whatever, you can pick it apart when you're listening to it on record, but if you're there in the room, you'll realize this shit works. In fact, it works so much that like I've been like, you know, in bar shows and like this song just comes on the PA and like the whole room starts singing it. So it's like, this is a legit ass fucking anthem, like done by one of the greatest hardcore bands of all time. And this LP, Dan was talking about Count Me Out being one of the most underrated things of all time. This record is underrated. Like in their catalog, this is like a sick record. This is a sick comeback record. One of the best comeback records, in my opinion. You know, they went away on my second favorite album of theirs, if we're not counting the live record. But this comeback record might be, of the first five, it might be my third favorite. It's so sick when you listen to like a track like Do or Die, you know, they're laying down like that straight hardcore formula that they like, they weren't the first band to do it, right? Like verse, chorus, breakdown, verse, chorus, or like some variation of that. But they were the first one that like almost every song on their record followed like basically that blueprint, right? On Victim in Pain.
Yeah.
And then you have like all of the, like the straight edge hardcore bands like come in next and like kind of follow that, right? Like Uniform Choice follows that. All the Rev bands follow that. You know, like Youth of the Day and shit. And they're doing it here. Like, look at a song like straight up Do or Die on this record. Like, there's not even a fucking riff, dude. It's just a few notes like da 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 da. And if any lame ass hardcore band from across the country like played that song, it wouldn't sound good. But like, they can just play hardcore music. They're agnostic front, you know what I mean? And so like, they can play these songs with like three, like it's straight up three chord hardcore songs with like no riffs, and somehow they're awesome, because like when they dial it in, they're the best band at playing hardcore, like straight up. So I don't know, this record rips. This is a great choice because it's such a hit and such an anthem, and like, you know, people can poo-poo because they're fucking dorks and are worried about like being edgy, but at the end of the day, this is a kick-ass song. So straight up, love it, Dan. Clevo, number six.
For my number six, I am going to go back to Eric Ozine, but we're gonna take Redemption 87 off of the All Guns Poolside and the lead off track, Plague. I love the way this song just kicks in with Eric's voice. And just, you know, it's, you know, whereas Nerve Agents are just playing like very fast punk, this is just a little, you know, crazier, straightforward hardcore band. Funnily, at the time, LaCroix and I were supposed to put out a Redemption 87 7-inch, and I'm pretty sure that some of the songs that ended up on this record probably would have been on our 7-inch, so I'm really bummed that that never happened. So, yeah, The Plague, Redemption 87, Eric Ozine, really, you know, his vocals just really, you know, and all of their Capoe glory are on full display on this one.
Ben, how does this stack up against your choice?
I think that the Nerve Agents 12-inch is better recorded. Like, the recording quality is better a little bit. This is a good song. I think this is an uneven album. It almost feels like, this is what we have left. Let's put it all on one record. Especially towards the end, it's a lot of cover songs. Although, this is a good pick. I just prefer that Nerve Agents 12-inch by not a huge margin, but a small margin over the Redemption 87 material. And I think I'd even pick the first Redemption 87 album over this album.
Oh, definitely. I think that if you look at it on, because it just recently got pressed onto vinyl. I think if you look at the vinyl, I think the A side is all the new songs and the B side is like the stuff that rounded it out to
Spidey Sessions.
Yeah. And it's got the covers and all of that stuff. So the A side of this album is legit. And that's what I'm saying is I'm pretty sure that whatever ended up on the A side of this probably would have been on the 7-inch that we were supposed to put out.
Dude, that song, How Can We Hide, that's on this, is so good.
That was also on that, you know, that if for some reason the plague was gone, that, because that's just like, that starts as just such like a mid-tempo, almost like Malfunction, and then it kicks into the fast part.
Yeah, and comes in like with him singing on the first beat of the song.
Yeah.
And his voice on that part is just so good, dude. I don't know. I love your pick too.
Thanks.
This is great. I'm glad it made the record.
Has a ripping bass solo in it too.
Shout out.
That's right.
Shout out Ian Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah, that rules. Okay. Let's see here. I'm all screwed up. Fuck. Is it back to me?
Sure is.
Heartbreak round, huh? Well, yeah. This is brutal. My honorable mentions, like, I know some of you guys on the group chat, we've talked, or some of you have said that like this year has bangers, but it's a little more thin than some of the other years we've done. And you might be right. Like when we're comparing this to 1983, you know what I mean? Like how do you touch 1983? Good God, man. But like, man, there's so much stuff I want. And I'll plow through my honorable mentions when I get there. But some of that stuff, like, would have made my 99 through 2004 list for sure if it came out in those years. Fuck, my final song. That All That War Burning Season song is like straight up perfect. But yeah, I gotta, you know, to tie it in to the winner of 1983, you know, I gotta say where it begins: acceptance, commitment, trust, loyalty, friendship, sincerity, pride, brotherhood, sisterhood. Where does it mean a lot to me? Never sell out a friend, always being true. That's what it means to me, and that's where it begins. It begins. So speaking of Agnostic Front being able to pull off like perfect three-chord hardcore songs, here's 25 to Life doing it. These are the last two great 25 to Light songs, is this song and Make It Work. They came out on, I think, maybe Always the Hardest, number two. I had this song originally. It was on the split with Morning Again. And I listened to it a million times. Like, this song is so perfect, right? It goes fast, then goes to like a two-step part, and then drops to like a, well, I should say, starts bounce, then goes fast, then goes to like two-step breakdown, then drops to like a mosh part, and then just repeats again. Perfect. You nailed four of the greatest tempos in the history of hardcore, you know, and all while just playing like the same three chords over and over. It's so moronic and so perfect at the same time. Like, it's one of my favorite songs of all time. I will say, this is probably the song that killed 25 to Life, though, because this is the first time. So like when they do Keeping It Real and they do Strength Through Unity, they get great recordings, like heavy metal recordings. And that's when the band works the best. But here for Where It Begins and Make It Work, like these are more like punky hardcore songs, and the recordings don't stand up to like the other stuff, but like it works for the style, and like the songs are so good, it doesn't really matter. But I think it does kind of change 25 to Life's style in a way that, like, they move away from being a metal band, you know? And the LP comes out, it's pretty hit or miss. It's sloppier than the previous material. And then everything after that, like, you know, it's lots of CDs, and they're all terrible, except for, like, there's a few songs that I like, but it's so far gone by that point, right? Like, he's touring the country with like a scab lineup of just like punk dudes. It doesn't sound metal anymore. And yeah, But like, this song is great. Dan, do you have any familiarity with the song?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like this is the part where Rick's head has been turned by doing like what would be a more traditional sounding hardcore band, like Coming Correct, which isn't as good as when 25's on all cylinders. And this is that like weird, like in between point, like 25 to Life is sounding a little bit more straightforward and less, you know, of what, like the two records you mentioned where they were really different from almost everybody else out there.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. Clevo, do you want to say anything on this? Since you have been in 25 to Life pits like myself, or should I go to Ben?
You can go on to Ben. My status in the 25 to Life pit speaks for itself.
Respect. All right, Ben, Heartbreak Round. What's your number 7?
All right, I'm going to lose the Super 7. No question. Last place, baby. We're going for it. I'm speaking straight from the heart, like that band from South Dakota on that one comp. If you're a Bold fan, I find it difficult to imagine that you would not also like this record. I'm talking One-Sided War. The song is called Looking for Answers, and that is on the Sum of Days EP. It's Matt Bold's band. It's basically Youth Crew with a darker, more somber tone to it. They came out west and they couldn't pull it off live, although it was different people playing for the most part than on this record. But I absolutely stand behind this record. I've probably listened to this more than anything else that was released in 98. It was on Ambassador. It was a CD only release. Finally got reissued in 2019 with extra tracks by some German label called Devarishi. It was briefly on Spotify when it got reissued on that German label, and now it's missing again, god damn it. But Zach, you must have an opinion, and all of you probably have an opinion on this, so let's hear it.
I never listened to it. Played the PC8, right? And were whatever.
Yep, that's right.
I think that day was Thorns' birthday, and we had a bunch of beers in the van that were warm, and we gave them to him, and he felt obligated to drink them because, like, it was his birthday present. And they were, like, just warm Natty Ices, and Thorns wasn't much of a drinker, and I think he felt sick. I could be remembering that totally wrong, but that's my memory of the show. Like, One Side of War sucked, and we peer pressured Thorns to drink a bunch of bad warm beer, and he felt bad about it, and then I felt bad about it. So that's all I got. Dan or Clevo, do you have any opinions on the song?
I think One-Sided War sucked. That's my memory back then. I will definitely give this an open-minded listen when the playlist is built.
It's not going to be on the playlist. It's not on Spotify.
Well, I guess the Swedes have some taste.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that it's on your list. If it's honestly like the thing you've listened to the most from this year, like, it needs to be on your list. So respect for that. All right, Dan, Heartbreak Round, number 7. What you got?
All right. Sorry, Fugazi. You're not making the list. I am unfortunately following Young Ben's trend, and Clevo always does a number 7 that's not on Spotify. I am doing a number 7 pick that's not on Spotify, but I am using this opportunity to say, Peter Crucial Response, get your shit together and get this stuff on Spotify and on Apple Music and everywhere we fucking want it. I'm going Eyeball, Set in Stone from the Talking Straight EP. Eyeball are in fucking credible hardcore, and this is the best song on the EP. It comes out the gate hard, like somewhere in between Chain and with maybe even just a touch of YOT in there as well. It comes out YOT with because the banana da 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 da, and then the drums go, and then the vocals are just sitting perfectly in the music. It's just fast, it's giving it to you. But let me just tell you, this song thrives in where the fast verse and chorus drop out, and then this guitar just comes to start this breakdown. And oh my God. Well, it goes verse, chorus, then it does that. And when it gets to that part where the guitar just takes off and then the rest of the band comes along for just this epic build-up breakdown, I wore this record out in 1998, and I still play it. And I'm just telling you, Crucial Response, get your head out of your ass and get this shit so all the 185 listeners can fucking thrive with this brilliant European hardcore. Scheiße.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Eyeball Talking Straight and Sportswear, It Runs Deep.
Yeah.
This year, It Runs Deep would have made my list. And yeah, that first Eyeball song, Talking Straight.
Oh no, this is the third song though. I know you're saying the first one you love, but this third one with the da-na-na-na-na, like the guitar build up, and then it comes in with like hard as fuck Youth Crew toms. I'm X-ing up right now as I'm talking about this. Fuck it.
Yeah. It's offensive. This stuff isn't on Spotify. I went into the rant, or at the very least, like, whatever. If you're taking a stand against Apple Music and Spotify, like, respect, like, put it on Bandcamp. But like, that shit of having one track up for each band is like, is 2023, dude. It's lame as hell. Like Dan said, get your head out of your ass. You're ruining your legacy. You're holding back like this great music from the people. It's getting forgotten history. You're getting forgotten history, except for us saying, like, what's up? You're acting lame. So
we're just talking straight.
Just talking straight, dude. You know, it runs deep, my hatred for, like, this situation. So, yeah, that's it. And also, can the fucking Life's Halt 7-inch get up on Spotify? Hopefully it is by now. Like, we're recording this episode pretty far in advance of when it's going to air. But, like, the fuck, man. You know, because Life's Halt More Than Once, one of my favorite songs of all time, and isn't making it. So.
I 100% would have had that on my list too. But between the two of not having, you know, choosing only one song that's not on Spotify, I really just have to be like, I got into Life's Halt probably 99, 2000, a lot more heavier. So if I'm being true to my 98 self, I played this record to like, there are pops and cracks on this record that I own now just because the amount of time I played it.
Yeah. And also, you know, if shit that's on my playlist, how about the Gordon Solie motherfucker shit isn't up on Spotify either.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Let's go to Clevo. Heartbreak Round, you're number 7.
So a lot of stuff I was going to pick from that is not on Spotify. I'm actually going to throw you guys a curveball and take something that is on Spotify.
What?
I'm going to go with His Hero Is Gone, the song Surrender.
Oh, yeah.
From the plot Sickens.
So good.
Man, this song, I think, you know, I wanted to take something from Death, No Space Threat. Also, I was, you know, throwing around something from Talk Is Poison. I feel like His Hero Is Gone is kind of that sweet spot between Death Threat and Tragedy, where it's still crusty, but they're playing fast. So, you know, if you're familiar with any of those bands from that scene, you know, it's heavy. It's, you know, very like, you know, throaty, like throat shredding vocals, very political. And just very, has great fast parts and is just like heavy and just like distorted and just really, you know, in that crusty, you know, wearing a vest with some patches on it and just, you know, that just that whole vibe, that whole scene, which again, you know, in 98, you know, Dan's talking about how much he was listening to Eyelid. I was not, you know,
Eyeball.
You know, Eyeball, yeah. I was not in this scene at the time and really missed out on a lot of this stuff. So, yeah, His Hero Is Gone, Surrender. Again, opening track, And luckily, this is on Spotify.
Yeah, and this song is so good. Like, the way that they rehash that intro riff, like, into the second fast part.
Yeah.
So good. It's like, yeah, they just run it through the machine and kick it out another way. Good God, man. So good.
This is fantastic. And the perfect description of what this is like gruff.
Yeah.
It's so gruff, you know, it, much like we talk about, you know, the Northeast English music being gruff, but tuneful. This is gruff and cross and it's, so it's hard.
It's just ugly music. Like,
yeah. And I loved this in 1998 as well. I did fuck with this stuff.
There's still that hint of melody though. So it's like, yeah. It's like a brutal, like, executioner dude that, like, you know, loves kittens.
And that's why I think that you do see, you know, you do see what tragedy, you know, you can understand how tragedy comes out of this band.
It is very similar. It's not a big jump at all, you know, in my opinion, but, yeah. I love it. I think all these lists are great. Let me jump into my honorable mentions. All at War, Burning Season, perfect hard style, hardcore song. Fast stomp, fast ring outs with the toms into the mosh part, back to fast, out. Good God, hurts to not have it on my list. Going down the list, the Carry On song, Battlefield, off their first 7-inch. Clubberlang, Execution Style, off the demo. Redemption 87, How Can We Hide. Straight Faced with one of their two good songs, Conditioned. Shout out Sergio, Count Me Out, What We Built, Dan Got It, E-Town Concrete, the whole Fuck the World EP, another one that I wish was up on Spotify. All their other shit, they got it up there, and this is actually my favorite E-Town there is, so it's a bummer that it's not up there. Eyeball, the whole Talking Straight EP, Sportswear, the whole It Runs Deep EP, Life Salt, More Than Once, really that whole 7-inch, good God. The Built to Last song, Turn Away. It came out on a comp, I believe, called Our Own Way. Can't remember, but that's what I think it's on. They redo it on the LP the following year, the CD, but like this version's better.
Yeah. Is it a California hardcore comp?
No. Yeah. No. Because it has like Euro shit on it. It's got everything. Oh. I think I'll pull it up when you guys are talking. Agnostic Front. Song Do or Die, or the song Something's Gotta Give, or Gotta Go, and then Floor Punch, The Answer. Dan, let's go to you. Honorable mentions.
Yeah, that Built to Last, Turn Away. If I'd known that was 98, that comp, because this version is so much better. It's so good. Really, really, really good. Okay, honorable mentions. I'm just going to do a couple because, you know, we've got Ben coming up and there's only enough power to fund just a few things. Never Again by Death Threat off Last Days. Caught in a Lie by Death Threat off of Last Days. Difference Between In My Eyes, Tro into the Taker off Difference Between also. Washed Up at 18, Floor Punch. Place Position by Fugazi, Bear No Shame, In Cold Blood, How Can We Hide, Redemption 87. I mean, so much good stuff. I'm not going to – oh, and of course, the Sportswear and everything off the Eyeball EP, Crucial Response. Come on, give us a Crucial Response by just putting it up there.
That's right. We'll do a whole segment on my favorite Crucial Response records. I've been dying to do it. Okay, Ben, honorable mentions.
Count Me Out, What We Built, Dan Got It, The Missing 23rd, Abused from the Powers That Be LP. Outlast.
Great LP.
Outlast, Positive Hardcore. I think they're Swedish. Positive Hardcore, Positive Youth. Tie Break, Another Disgrace, Keeping It Scandinavian. Fast. Yes, I know you make fun of me because I high rate tie break. Sorry.
Fast no, I break. Laugh because you think they say the kids are going to fuck your ass.
I'll laugh you in the fucking face, right. Dan. Fast Break, At Times, Battery, Who Are You, Bad Religion, three good songs, Sowing the Seeds of Utopia, Hear It, and Mediocre Minds, Radon, Lying to You, Stand Your Ground, Bound by Honor, Carry On, Stabbed in the Face, Life's Halt, Monster Joe, Bane, Count Me Out, In My Eyes, The Cost, Time Flies, Break the Chain, Rancor, Hardcore 97, it did come out in 98, Reach the Sky, World Stands Still, The Judas Factor, What Comes Around, At the Drive-In, Alpha Centauri, The Enkindles, Florida Trash, Lifetime, New England, from the Music Does a Body Good comp. This is a Billy Bragg cover that actually comes out in 98. Hot Water Music, Rest Assured, All, Worlds on Heroin, Model American, We've Had Enough, Elliot, Miracle, Threepenny Opera, Sweetness Kills, Sportswear, It Runs Deep, Speak, later renamed Speak 714, Throwing Stones, and Zach's favorite, Where Fear and Weapons Meet, the song Never.
Yeah. That comp we're talking about, Dan, is called Our Own Way, an international hardcore compilation. Came out on Blackout Records, 1998. That's right,
it's Blackout, yeah.
Yep. And I have the vinyl, too. So sick. Yeah. You know, I wish that dude could put up the whole comp on Spotify. Maybe I'll shoot him a note. Because, yeah, there's, like, great shit. I think it's got, yeah, it's got Powerhouse Fencewalker on it, too. It is so good. And the one and two are two of the best songs of the year, right? Agnostic Front, Do or Die, and Kill Your Idols, Can't Take My Pride is what it's listed as. Yeah, what the fuck? Did we say the song wrong before? Or is it listed wrong? No,
you can't take it away from me. Or can't take it away.
Can't take my pride on this. Yeah. Anyway, whatever the fuck ever. Clevo, honorable mentions.
Death Threat 7-inch, Talk is Poison 7-inch, Time Flies put 2 7-inches out this year. Dropkick Murphys, the first 7-inch with Al Barr on vocals, came out, and there's a song that's only on that 7-inch that's about Boston hardcore called On the Attack. It's a fast ripper. Great song. Swing and Utter's Five Lessons Learned. Rancid, Life Won't Wait, specifically the song Blood Clot. Reach the Sky, Catch the Last Train, World Stand Still. Eyeball and Sportswear 7-inches, Committed 7-inch. Life's Halt, we talked about. Missing 23rd put out a 7-inch this year, too. We played with them at the showcase the second time we were there, and I picked up the 7-inch there and still hold on to it. Fast Break, Fast Cars, Fast Women, that shit needs to be up on Spotify. Jay Reason's been putting their catalog up there, so maybe he gets this up there. And, of course, shout out to Cooper and Clubber Lang.
Yeah, as I represent my execution style. Dude, that Drunken Murphy's song, On the Attack, I had that 7-inch, and that was one of Ryan's favorite songs. So shout out Ryan Fredette. Dan, where can people find you?
I just want to say, because I just was blasé about my honorable mentions because I was not paying attention as much. The Committed 7-inch almost made my 7. So I really love that thing. And I love the Proclamation 7-inch too from this year. People can find me on Instagram at Southport Instagrammer.
Ben, where can people find you?
I'm on Facebook, Ben Merlis. I'm on Instagram at Cold Chillin' Book. I don't check those very regularly, but if you need to get in contact with me, you can email Zach. Or you can email me, xbenedgex@yahoo.com. Fuck it. Keeping Yahoo alive, keeping my straight edge email alive.
Dude, respect. Handle business. Clevo, where can the people find you?
I am on Instagram and apparently on Threads at Clevo.
Yeah, Instagram, Threads, and Twitter, 185 miles south. Also, 185 miles south on Substack. And 185 miles south on Spotify. There's a playlist for every episode. Go to 185milesouth.com, click that playlist link at the top of the page, and you can get to it that way. Or you can just find us on Spotify, 185 miles south. Me personally, Zach Retaliate on Instagram. And you know, Retaliate is the best on Instagram. Yeah, dude. 1998, a great year for hardcore. We love you all. We'll talk to the real ones next Monday on Patreon.